You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Jungle Deep, Deep, Deep. The podcast that explores the tropical lifestyle. Hello and welcome to the podcast, Jungle Deep. This is your host, Dr. Jones. We are on safari, and I'm here with you to learn, to have fun, and to explore the jungle. We have our field correspondent, Stephanie Arney, from the Honolulu Zoo with us today to talk to us about a gorgeous and extremely rare little primate from the rainforests of Brazil called the golden lion tamarin. They once roamed the vast forests that stretch from the Atlantic coast to the inland mountain range of Sierra de Mor. They are highly adaptive to the environment, which is one reason for concern. Fully 99% of their original primary forest has been cut down for agriculture and housing construction. How many tamarins are left? Can they be brought back? How do they live and reproduce? We will learn much about these delightful golden creatures. In addition, we're going to hear some rainforest music from my collection, two tracks from Cusco and Paramac 2, Return to Ancient America, the 1994 album by Michael Holm and Christian Schultz. As our jungle species for today is South American, so is our music, Tropical American. Notice the beautiful pan flutes, indicative of the people of the American tropical rainforest.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to Communicate with Animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit PetLifeRadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We are going to talk to our field correspondent from the Honolulu Zoo, Stephanie Arney, about tamarins today. Hello, Stephanie.
Aloha, everyone.
Tamarins. All I know is they're beautiful monkeys, but they are gorgeous and they're rare. I'm anxious to learn a little bit about them today. You have some there at the Honolulu Zoo, do you not?
Yeah, we do. We have a couple. Cute little couple.
A cute couple. Are they the golden lion tamarins or a different kind?
They are golden lion tamarins. And golden lion tamarins are they are a very small species of monkey. Another small species would be the marmoset. So if you guys ever see pictures on the internet or on TV shows where it's like a tiny little monkey that looks about a pound and a half that could fit on your shoulder, that's the tamarin or a marmoset.
Are these the same thing or are they two different varieties of small monkey?
Two different types of monkeys.
Okay, and there's more than one kind of tamarin, which I was surprised to learn about. I've always known about the lion-headed tamarins, those golden, beautiful golden monkeys. But apparently there's four different species with us today, is that right?
Let's see, there's about four different types of golden lion tamarin. So you have golden lion tamarin, you have golden headed tamarin, you have black tamarin, and black face tamarin. And why they're in the golden lion tamarin family is because they have that mane around them that reminds you a lot of a lion mane.
Yeah, go ahead and describe them a little further for people who don't know what they are. They're small monkeys, they're a pound and a half. They come from South America. They're a New World monkey, which means they have a tail, a long tail, and they have this beautiful face. Tell us a little more about them.
Well, Ken, let's not go too far. Some of their faces do not have hair on them. They look like squishy little old man faces. And if they're lucky, they're beautiful enough to be called the golden lion tamarin, which still has that squishy face, but the beautiful orange fur all over their entire bodies. And they have extremely long tails. But they're not prehensile. They can't wrap around trees like a lot of other New World monkeys can.
Oh, really?
Some other different types of tamarins that people might be aware of are the emperor tamarin, which is the tamarin that has the huge mustache. And then there's the cotton top tamarin, which reminds me of when you look at them, they have this huge mohawk. And they look a lot like some of the characters in the movie Last of the Mohicans. And golden-headed tamarins just look kind of like dirty golden lion tamarins. They just have some darker patches of brownish fur compared to the golden lion tamarin, which is all bright orange color. And you know how they get that color?
No. How do they get that color?
From carotenoids. It's like a pigment from a lot of the food that they get.
They get it from eating carrots.
Look. Yeah, think of just eating a whole heap load of carrots. Uh-huh. And it'll turn bright orange. Actually, humans, if you do eat a lot of carrots, our hands do turn orange.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Yeah, so that's what they do. Well, where do they find carrots in the rainforest?
They're not eating carrots. They get in a lot of the fruits that they eat.
Well, I see other tropical fruits have that too. But some of them have black and brown on them. They're not all this beautiful orange color. But they all have this beautiful coat. It's just long, impressive. They all seem to have such personalities just because they're so striking looking. I think they're gorgeous animals.
Definitely. And when I think the first time that I ever saw marmosets and tamarins, those two smaller monkeys, I remember just being blown away. I think, first of all, you don't expect a monkey to be that small. So everybody's like, oh, look how cute it is. But then you see its crazy face. And some of them having that beautiful mane, and some having mohawks. And I find that in zoos, people tend to crowd around those exhibits for like 5 minutes, which is a long time.
And let me mention to our listeners that we're going to have photographs of these amazing monkeys on our show notes page. So be sure to visit our website and take a look. They're amazing.
With the tamarins, they're what we call monomorphic. So the males and females look the same, which being sexually dimorphic is when they look different. If you look at them, you really have a hard time telling which one's male or female. But that's a little bit about what they look
well,
like.
Well, it's most important that they know which ones.
Yes.
We don't have to know it so much.
Well, they also, exactly. It is very true. You don't want to get that
But I understand they're really quite family-oriented creatures. They keep their young with them, tend to live in family groups. Tell us a little more about that.
So they generally live in a little family group of about 2 to 8 individuals with one breeding pair. And that's all by social status, or you know, maybe they had a fight to get to that point, but they just have one breeding pair. But they can be grouped. They'll be groups together, and it could include 40 members in one big troop. That's, like I said, small families, kind of like the trees, the city, and they're, you know, a household would be 8 individuals or so, but 40 people in the whole city of the tree, maybe, or in a territory, in an area. But they are very family-oriented, and they spend a lot of time grooming each other, hanging out. And they are diurnal, which means they're out during the daytime. And they're pretty busy animals. They're out for about 12 hours at a time. In the morning, they'll be foraging around trying to get fruit, nectar, flowers. And then in the afternoon, when the insects start coming out, they become amazing insect hunters. Now, as you know, insects are pretty quick. So they have extremely long fingers, and they are able to stick their hands into holes to grasp insects very quickly. And they just hold them in their paws and eat it, you know, head first. And it looks like they're eating a candy bar.
And they have different kinds of fingernails than what we think of, like we see on apes, for instance.
Exactly.
They have those long claw-like fingernails. That helps them get those insects out from under the bark and stuff.
Yeah, it definitely does. It helps with their micro-manipulation of their fingers. being able to move them so easily and squeeze them around and in between crevices of trees and grasping that insect so quickly is very helpful. But of course, those long nails really help them to not only hold on to those insects and small invertebrates, you know, let's not lie, they love to eat them, you know, they love to eat some lizards too, mm-hmm. and some other small invertebrates. But those long claws really help them to move along the branches, and they don't move along like a lot of other monkeys do. They have the ability to kind of jump around more like a squirrel because of those long fingers and fingernails. So they kind of hop and gallop around like a squirrel compared to how you see other monkeys, if that makes sense.
Well, they're almost squirrel size, aren't they?
I think that there's some squirrels in the world that are actually much larger than the golden lion tamarin. Well, I wonder what they would do in a fight. I wonder if they would take each other on if that ever happened.
So, now, how many babies do they tend to have, and how quickly do they reproduce?
So they can start reproducing, males and females, around 18 to 24 months, and they can have, you know, they usually have twins, Ken. Almost always they have twins, and It's not completely out of the ordinary to see triplets and quadruplets, but average is twins, and they tend to hang on to mom for the very beginning of it, and they grasp on so tightly, it almost looks like they're a part of the mother's body. But what's super cool about these species, and probably one of the most popular things about tamarins, and is that fathers will share the care for the babies. So you'll see when the female or the mother goes out to go foraging or hunting that the babies will jump onto the father's back, and he'll carry them around for a little bit, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, so they really are kind of a family unit. The fathers help raise the babies, help transport them around and care for them to some degree. They have two, and they have their babies every year, is that right?
Yep, usually it's seasonally. Yep. They do them at the end of the rainy season.
Do you know how long they live?
About 10 to 15 years in the wild, and 18 to 20 years in captivity, is what I'm noticing.
Wow.
Yeah, they're pretty cool animals. They live, like you said earlier, Ken, they live in tropical rainforests. They've been kind of squeezed into a very small portion now, and we'll talk about why later. It's usually around the Atlantic forest of Brazil. And we already spoke about them being highly arboreal, and they are so adapted for being arboreal. Like we, you know, how we mentioned the long claws, them having tegulae, which is those type of long fingernails, being quadrupedally able to go around those trees. So they're perfectly adapted to that environment. But, you know, we'll talk about later how deforestation is really, you know, not really helping those animals out for survival.
Really impacting them, yeah.
We can talk a little bit about how they communicate.
Yeah, how do they communicate? How do they communicate?
They are so chattery. They make so many different types of noises for many different things. They do whines, peeps, clucks, trills, rasps, screeches, kind of like how my voice sounds right now. they make different noises, and it could be for communication amongst each other, whether they're angry with each other, they're having a territorial dispute, they're being playful, they're sending out alarms about predators. Predators being like eagles and hawks primarily that are flying over the treetops, and, you know, they're kind of screwed. They're bright orange monkeys. They are so easily seen. So they have to be very, very careful not to be too loud, because if a hawk sees them, you know, they're bright orange, they're going to have to hide really quickly into a den or a hollow or some type of thing to hide.
Some type of shelter. Well, who are their predators? Who preys on these guys?
Oh, different types of, like I said, the eagles and hawks that are living in the Brazilian rainforest.
Jaguars?
Jaguars would be a big cat that lives in the rainforest. But these animals, I mean, their homes are even about 11 to 15 meters off of the ground. So unless, you know, there's not many other ground predators that can come up to get to the golden lion tamarins, and they have no need to come down. So their biggest predators are eagles and hawks.
I see. Well, that makes sense then. Yeah.
Definitely.
Thank you.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Go to PetcoDeals.com and get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off hundreds of items at Petco.
PetcoDeals.com.
But that's not all.
Are you talking to me?
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to AudibleDeals.com.
That's AudibleDeals.com.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radial root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. Go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com.
To order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on awesome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
The beautiful Honolulu Zoo welcomes you in the spirit of aloha to come and explore their tropical paradise filled with exotic animals. Much more than a typical zoo experience, the Honolulu Zoo offers many specialized programs for the entire family. Look into their vacation adventures, Kiki's Night Out, stargazing at the zoo, twilight tours, and snooze in the zoo overnight adventures. All of this and more is available through the zoo's website. Visit HonoluluZoo.org for all the information. That's HonoluluZoo.org. And when you visit, thank them for sponsoring the Jungle Deep Podcast.
Thinking about buying a monkey? How about a ferret or a skunk? Then check out the show that will answer the burning questions: where do you get them? What do you feed them? How do you take care of them? And most of all, what were you thinking? With exotic pet expert and author Bob Tart, every week on demand from PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Now, more of
Jungle Deep.
Well, with all that noise they make, I would assume they have quite a vocabulary, and that would tend to imply to me that they're pretty smart. Are they fairly intelligent animals?
I would say so. I think to me, when an animal is extremely intelligent, it's because they've mastered living in their environment. Like I said, they have absolutely mastered that. And being a gregarious animal, being able to pair up with so many other groups or troops of monkeys, allows them to survive even better. So yeah, they are an intelligent creature, which is mastered survival and are living great amongst each other. So yeah, I think that they're a highly intelligent animal. The only issue is, of course, probably their number one predator is humans, right? Cutting down the forest. They can be so smart, but if we cut down their trees, they're kind of out of luck there.
Can you tell us a little bit about the tamarins you have there at the zoo? You say you have a pair. Yeah. Is it a male and female?
Yeah, we do. We have a female. Her name is Margarita. But I've been asked by the keepers to say Margarita because they think that that's the way she would sound. They think she has a Spanish accent or a Portuguese accent. They're like, oh, say Margarita.
Okay, fair enough.
And she's about 5 years old. They think that she has a finesse about her. She's very calm and, I don't know, like sexy, I think. I don't know. Very calm and comes out and looks to the left and looks to the right and, you know, stares at everybody and looks back at her mate, ditto. And she has a very hearty appetite. She has no issues eating. We like to say that she's well nourished. It's a nice way to put it. And she's very curious. She loves enrichment. Remember we spoke about enrichment in earlier episodes about bringing in things that are unnatural or natural into her exhibit to stimulate her mentally and physically. And when we bring in something, let's say it's a box and we stuff it full, you know, mix around with it and open up different holes and stick her fingers in there and try to figure out what's in there. Compared to her mate Ditto, who is kind of bossy, especially with food, which is not fun to watch since they both really love to eat. And he's quite impatient with his enrichment. He doesn't sit there and look at it and be delicate with it. If he can't just rip it open and get to what he wants, he gives up and he's just like, fine. And he just throws it onto the ground like, if you don't do what I want when I want it, then fine.
I'm out of here.
And he's holding or his little hollow in his tree.
Are they both a breeding age?
They are way past breeding age. In some zoos, we've talked a lot about the Species Survival Plan, the SSP, where a lot of animals are in zoos because of breeding programs, right?
Sure.
And very highly endangered species, golden lion tamarins, are dispersed between about 150 zoos. There's about 500 of them in 150 zoos. We have two of them. And at a lot of zoos, they are part of the breeding program. But here at the Honolulu Zoo, we are not a part of the breeding program, which is a real bummer. But the reason for that is because their DNA is pretty spread out. And like I've said before, for the Species Survival Plan to be healthy, we need to make sure that every breeding pair gives birth to very healthy, genetically diverse individuals. So as of right now, the SSP has put our golden lion tamarins on hold for breeding until further notice.
So are you saying they're deemed as less than ideal for being parents?
No, they're great parents. I just think that they need more genetic diversity.
In their makeup, there's no way they can get that. That's just the way they are. So they're just not well paired, I suppose.
Let's just say, because they've been traded between other zoos, their genes have been very well dispersed. As of right now, with the captive amount of golden lion tamarins that are out there, nobody has a need for Margarita and Ditto's work.
Well, I understand that they are very endangered. There's not really many of them left. I just would assume any rare animal, if you had a male and female, you'd automatically want to breed them. But through the zoo associations, they take a really close look at this, and they pay a lot of attention to the genetic history of these animals. And they don't just breed any pair just because they're rare.
Exactly, Ken. And I think a lot of people have a hard time realizing that we know what we're doing. The SSP knows what they're doing. The AZA, the American Zoological Association, knows what they're doing. They spend every single day focused on trying to save animal species, and we're just a part of their team doing so. They know the genetic diversity with all the species that are in captivity, and they have a long-term plan for that. So if they tell us that our breeding pair is not ready yet or is not needed, then we're going to listen to them and respect their knowledge and their experience. Don't just breed anything, you know, because it might actually hurt the population if we were to do so, especially if we were to release them back in the wild, which a lot of zoos are a part of. There's about 140 zoos that are out there that are trying to help the Golden Lion Tamarin Association, their reintroduction program. And in 1996, they were critically endangered. There was like 400 of them left. I know there was 200 left in 1960. In 1996, they were critically endangered. And once they started really stepping up, the ICUN and CITES, once they decided to make them critically endangered and endangered, because they keep going back and forth how their numbers fluctuate, then people really started stepping up. And the reintroduction program started, and now we're at a healthier number, that's for sure. Still, they are working towards a huge goal, and one of the organizations I'm going to give a shout-out to is SaveTheLionTamarin.org. And this organization has a huge goal that I think by 2015 or 2020, excuse me for not knowing the exact date, but they want to have 2,000 wild tamarins and about, I think, 62,000 acres of land protected for these animals. So as of right now, we have 1,500 wild tamarins out there, but their goal is for 2,000. With all of the breeding programs going on in captivity, as well as the breeding programs going on within three different organizations in Brazil, they're trying to work together to increase those numbers. And of course, gain more protected land, which is the biggest thing, is the more land that we can buy, that's more homes for the golden lion tamarins to live in without the fear of their home being cut down.
Buying it and then protecting it's the other big part of that. That's often a challenge, is being able to protect the land. Well, this begs the question, how do you prevent them from breeding if you have a male and female that are breeding age and they don't have permission?
Well,
I'm not so sure they care about your permission.
Well, that is when veterinarians need to give them birth control.
Now, how do you do that?
Yeah, do you know that? Zoos give birth control to animals when you absolutely need to stop breeding.
So hormonal control.
We can, vets can put an implant, like an implant on of some sort into the body, or they can put maybe pills into their food of some sort. But usually it is put into their bodies. And it's not extremely common. It's just when we need to control the timing, usually, of mating and breeding.
I see. So it's going to be a hormonal control.
Exactly. And it's obviously very humane the way that we do it. And it has a long-term plan. These people know what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
I think I just say that because I want everybody to know listening that to just remember that we love what we do and we love these animals. And there's a very intricate system of how we have to protect animals in the wild, as well as how we are working with them in the zoos. I just want people to know that we very much know what we're doing and we love what we do and we're in this fight together.
Well, I think that's very important to say. So in summary now, we have how many of these animals left in captivity? About 500 spread
yep.
between 150 zoos?
Yep.
And then we've got about 1,500 of them in the wilds that we know of?
Yeah, about 1,600, and they're dispersed between three different parks in Brazil.
Well, that's not very many. I find numbers that in 1, 2, 3,000, 4,000, 6,000, it's not very many animals in the entire world.
No.
That makes me really worried about their future. I'm glad there's organizations working to try to turn that around, and it sounds like they are having some success, and thank goodness for that, because we sure need that. But man, that's pretty scary. Those are scary numbers in my book. No wonder they're considered endangered.
Well, you know, Ken, we can do something about it. The way we can do that is supporting organizations that are supporting them. Like I said, you can go to www.savelionTamarin.org. These folks are here in the U.S., and they are raising donations and awareness for the golden lion tamarin. Anybody that donates to them, and you can adopt tamarins. I mean, there's lots of fun different programs you can do to support them if you think they're as cool as we do. And they send that money down to organizations down in Brazil. And when the people in Brazil get that money, it helps pay for staff, which will go into the government and, you know, maybe fight for them with laws, perhaps buy land. They go out into the forest, they do all the counting. So it pays a lot of the salaries of the people that are physically working on grounds in Brazil to protect these animals. So although you might not be able to go to Brazil to protect them, believe it or not, even donating $5 makes a huge difference. So maybe instead of buying a coffee this week, maybe you can help them protect a golden lion tamarin.
Well, I really appreciate that, but I would also make the point that your local zoo is a conservation organization also, and that supporting your local zoo through membership and attendance can help save these endangered animals as well. I would encourage anyone and everyone to visit the Honolulu Zoo. It's honoluluzoo.org, is that right?
Correct. And okay. We'd love it if you guys would come. If you listen to this podcast and you make a trip out to our beautiful island of Oahu, we would love to see you. Our zoo is at the end of Waikiki. It is beautiful and charming and cute and fun. And we would love for you to come in and help support us so that we can continue to protect wildlife.
And as you've shown through your discussions on our show over and over again, you have a wonderful collection of some very exotic and wonderful animals out there.
Yeah, we do.
Very good. Well, I look forward to talking to you next time. I can't wait to find out what animal you come up with next. The world is so full of beautiful exotic animals that is if we can save them from extinction. And I appreciate your contribution so much. So it's been fun talking to you.
Mahalo, Ken. I really appreciate it. And I hope you guys all have a wonderful day. Aloha.
Thank you.
a reminder for you that the wonderful photos of the beautiful little golden lion tamarin can be viewed on the Jungle Deep website at the show notes page for this episode. That's number 18. You can find additional information there, too. The music in this podcast has been, in the intro, Gerriconda Mix by Ken Jones with Apple Music Loops, Quetzal's Feather and Goddess of the Moon by Michael Holm and Christian Schultz, and a segment in our episode closing by Don Tiki called Jungle Julie. Be sure to share Jungle Deep Podcast with your friends and co-workers. Audience growth is especially important for Jungle Deep to succeed and prosper, so share the show. You can see beautiful photos and learn more about Jungle Deep at our website, calaverasgold.tv. Now that's Spanish, Calaveras, C-A-L-A-V-E-R-A-S, gold, G-O-L-D, like the mineral, .tv, like television. You gotta check it out. Where else can you go for this kind of fun? Just click on the Jungle Deep title in the header directory. Our show notes pages have valuable links for you. I invite you to email me at jungledeep@calaverasgold.tv and follow me on Twitter. Search for Jungle Deep or KenJones56, all one word. I would love to hear your ideas for the show. Well, the show's over for today, so it's time to refill my Mai Tai, mount my elephant, and head back into the jungle.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.